just begin to pray in the spirit all over. Let's hold hands together. Halabakata brande vene balakatos. Go ahead and begin to pray in the spirit. Shekete kalabaratos kanabaladabaladabos. Sete kete baratos kanabaladabaladabos. Let your spirit reach out to God tonight. Continue to pray. Don't be tired, let your spirit pray. The flesh may be weak, but the spirit is weak.
Jesus.
other name.
No other name.
No other name.
Jesus.
Jesus. Two more times. My heart will see.
My heart will see.
No other name.
No other name.
Tonight and tomorrow, thank you for the amazing things that you will be doing in our lives, already doing and will do. Lord, we thank you for your glory in this place. We thank you for your grace. We bless you. Let your river flow unhindered. Touch someone's life. Change someone's destiny. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. I'd like us to be sensitive. We can exchange pleasantries after the meeting. Let your heart be opened.
Is for you to be glorified, for you to be all I want. For you to be glorified, all I want. Is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I need is you.
That's my testimony.
Is you.
All I need is you.
Man may need a lot of other things,
but all I need is
you, Lord.
For in you is everything.
Is you, Lord.
Turns unto life and godliness through godliness.
All I need is you, say.
All I need is you, Lord.
Heart of everyone here. And Lord, I pray that with this fire, we will light this generation in a way and manner that the gates of hell will not prevail. Lord, it is true that we come from different backgrounds. Some of us very sad stories and sad experiences, but we have come before you, the Maker. You are able to make men regardless of our limitations. Spirit, break out. Break my walls down. My prayer tonight, Spirit, break out. Let heaven come down.
Heaven come down.
Spirit, break out.
Spirit, break out.
Tom is praying to his song. We're still praying. Those walls down.
Break our walls down.
Like you did Jericho, let every mountain be leveled tonight.
Spirit, break out.
And heaven come down.
Heaven come down.
Sing it from your heart.
Spirit, break out.
Spirit, break out. Pray over that part of the song alone. Break my walls down. The walls that limit my dimensions. The walls of unbelief. The walls of doubt and fear. The walls of exaggerated intellectualism that will not allow me to contact spiritual reality. The walls of pride. The walls of prejudice. The walls of ignorance, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Then he says that the wilderness will be counted for a fruitful vine, and a fruitful vine for a forest. It is never by might, it is never by power, it is always by the Spirit. Just pray. If this is all we do tonight, is work it, people of God. Going to be sharing with us many things, but one of the things that I want us to learn, and I thank God that by His grace we're a generation that loves the Lord. It takes time to know God. It takes time to access genuine power. Are we together? You see, this flesh, this body that we wear, something happens to this body when it is exposed to the presence of God. The moment the glory of God begins to interact with this body, the body becomes uncomfortable. Are we together now? And all of a sudden you find out, you can see people, like I would always say, after service, they can wait outside at a mineral shop for 2 hours. But once they see 10 minutes in the glory, as that glory is coming, that resistance, your flesh, something in you wants to move out. You want to eat. You want to ease yourself. That's the time to stay, because something is happening to you in the spirit. Are we together? You notice how uncomfortable you get in the glory. The Bible says the flesh is weak. So don't mind it. Don't let it cheat you. As the glory of God descends upon you, regardless of what you feel, the devil begins to bring distractions. I want to make a call. I forgot. I want to do this. The flesh is reacting to the glory.
And you see, many of us, because we are weak, there is no capacity in the spirit to sustain the staying power to say remain. That's where the miracle is. It is in staying. Listen, when Jesus resurrected, I want you to be very sensitive, because I already sense the Holy Spirit doing a lot of things. When Jesus resurrected, all the other disciples came, but they could not be patient enough to see him. So they looked at the tomb and they went. But a woman came. When she looked, she remained here. And while she stayed and stayed, two angels appeared and said, "Woman, what is happening?" He said, "I'm looking for Jesus." "Ah," he said, "Jesus has resurrected." That means there was an information that the patience of the apostles would have given them. When you stay in his presence, something happens to you. It will look like you are not hearing God. You are not even sure. You are thinking about a plate of food. Just you remain. That's where Satan cheats us. Because you, listen. You think that because your mind is going around, you are not spiritual. Your flesh is fighting a war that it will lose for sure. So your secret is not to fight. Just remain there. A time will come, your flesh will give up. And all of a sudden, you will step into a dimension. You will now hear a word. You will hear a rhema. You've been listening all the while, but your flesh is fighting. That's why many people do not receive. When you come to church, that's not the time, except you are working in the media, to ping and browse and do all this, and you are trying to catch up with someone, and you notice how the devil cheats us. Someone just sends you a message quickly and says, "Let me take this opportunity." And all of a sudden, your spirit is distracted. Just when the word, listen, not every word from God blesses you. It is the word that is sent. There are all kinds of words, but it is the word that is sent. There were many widows in Zarephath, but to none was Elijah sent. Listen, this is Dr. Emeka. If I send you to this gentleman, you can also go to this one, but with respect to my instruction. Are we together? So that the word is available does not mean it will change you. Your hunger is what makes it become a sent word. Are we together? Yes. The word of breakthrough is here. It doesn't mean you will have breakthrough. You see, this is where believers cheat themselves, and I'm glad that this is a conference that God is helping us. Tonight is a retreat. That's what we are doing tonight. Just a retreat to just flush away all the things, this flesh garbages that the devil can bring to weigh us down. Are we together? A sent word. The word is not just sent until there is hunger. Something must rise from the earth like an incense. And your hunger now calls the presence of God, and the word is sent. You will be amazed how many people pray for God to reach you without you calling him. He gave you a will. He can't assume you need his help. So he waits for your hunger. Your hunger is your call in the spirit. That you're saying, "Lord, I need you. This is not something I have an option for. I need you." The sent word is not the man of God, is not the word, but is your connection through genuine desire. Then it becomes a sent word. There were many widows in Zarephath. How could a loving God not send Elijah to say, "All widows, come"? There was something that woman was doing that made God say, "Stand up, go to her." Amazing how "Thou son of David," say, "Shut up." He said, "You are joking. I've been here for how long?" "Thou son of David." He never said, "Thou Jesus." "Thou son," evoke the dimension of you. I know you are not just Jesus, a man. There is more to you. Was David his father? Solomon was the son of David. He said, "I have a revelation. I've been practicing your passing this place, and I will not miss this opportunity." And then Jesus stops and asks a very sarcastic question. "What should I do for you?" You can't assume a blind man wants to see. You see, because the lame man in the book of Acts wanted money, not to walk. So you can't assume that because you are in trouble, God, you should know. Unto to him that answers prayer. Not creates it. He creates hunger. Your hunger makes you to cry out in desperation and he comes. Sent word. Can we pray one prayer? Lord, send my word. Not send our word. Send my word. Shabalakatosi. Halabarokatosadeanabalanabalia. Send my word. Shabalakatosadabalataya. That word that can take me to a new dimension. That word that will turn my family around. That word that will give me an encamp. That word that will send me upon my feet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord for the grace to experience another young and yielded. Let his name be glorified in the name of Jesus. Just before I begin ministering, I'd like us to please rise and honor the angel of this house is here in our midst, the pastor, the man of God. Let's rise up and honor him. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to also honor the sisters of the Youth for Christ, our mothers, a number of them. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. And the Heritage Youth also, let's just honor them. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. Please help me appreciate my adorable team all the way from Zaria. Wonderful people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. I love you with all my heart. Please be seated. Hallelujah. In every generation, now you listen, we're going to pray. In every generation, there are always a group of people, could be few individuals, could be a nation, that avail themselves to be used by God in that generation to establish his purposes and his plans. Now you must understand that the word eternity, you've heard that word eternity? Eternity simply means the summation of infinite dispensations. It doesn't just mean a long straight line of living. It means dispensation connecting dispensation. Are we together? And in every dispensation, God is not doing the same thing. Are we together? There is an emphasis of God that captions a dispensation. Please understand what I'm teaching. You are only relevant to God, and by implication to that generation, not just to the degree to which you are alive, but to the degree to which you understand the emphasis of the Spirit for that dispensation and align with it. Are we together? Now, the anointing of the Spirit is God's capacity to produce results. Listen carefully. But the anointing is not necessarily generic in operation. There is the anointing allocated for a generation. There is the anointing for your spiritual growth, but there is the anointing, a grace dimension reserved for a generation. Are we together now? And the anointing of the Spirit follows the word, his emphasis for a generation. That means that if in this generation, the anointing, listen, if God is calling people to, for instance, calling people to love him more, the anointing to be present within that encounter is the anointing that causes men to desire God more. Are we together? So whoever will carry that anointing is the person God is doing. Now, you can be a wonderful person. You can have the anointing given to you based on your spiritual life, but you cannot carry the anointing for the agenda of God in a season until you know what he is saying. Are we together? So the anointing doesn't just come to you just because you desire it. The anointing follows where the Spirit of God is going, which is where the Word of God is going. If God is talking breakthrough, the anointing that is there is the anointing for breakthrough. And whoever will carry that anointing is the person who understands that breakthrough is what God is doing now. May not be what he did yesterday, may not be what he will do tomorrow. This is the reason why you find out, listen brothers and sisters, that you can find many people for a period of 10 years be very current and alive in what God is doing. Have you seen people like that? And then all of a sudden, maybe the 11th, 12th year, they are still there, maybe in ministry, but they are not, they are there, but they are not there. They are there, but you know that they are just around. They are no longer on point. Something happened. A transition of God's emphasis shifted, but they did not sustain the hearing ear and the seeing eye to move with him. Are we together? That God started using you yesterday does not guarantee he will use you tomorrow. You see, I could not. And then you can listen to my messages of when I started working with God, but that does not reveal you are being blessed by my altar and my walk with God of yesterday. But that doesn't guarantee that as at the time you are being blessed by that message, I'm still in line with God. Are we together? Even if I die and go to hell, that message will bless you. Because as at the time, listen, remember that Solomon was not always in his depraved state. Once upon a time, I mentioned that Solomon experienced the manifested presence of God twice. He saw the Shekinah of God. But by the time we get to Ecclesiastes, Solomon was a frustrated man who was almost, it's as though he didn't know anything about God again. It is costly to believe that just because you were part of what God was doing yesterday, it means with it. You know, many of us feel this is not salvation. This is not redemption. You are still in Christ. But we are talking of being part of the move of God within a season. Once upon a time, for the nation of God's people was Eli. You know that? Eli was a priest of God. He was not fake. But the Bible records that at a time in his life, his eyes started becoming dim. And remember, the Bible says the eye is the light of the body. It says, if your eye be single, your whole body be full of light. And now his eyes started becoming dim. What happened? The voice of God came to the same temple where Eli was, but Eli didn't hear. The voice left him and went to a small boy, Samuel, wake up. Eli was there. Why would God bypass Eli? How about Saul? Saul, a man who was anointed himself by Samuel. Samuel said, is it not because God has chosen? So this was God who chose. Will God make mistakes? Is he not Alpha Omega? Can't he see the end of a man? Why choose a man that will not last? Because your longevity in God's program is not determined by him. It's determined by your hunger, your passion, and your continually following him. Saul was anointed king of Israel. Listen carefully. Then the Bible records that once upon a time, Samuel had delayed in coming to offer the sacrifice. And the Bible says the people began to mount pressure upon Saul. And Saul said, what is there? God chose me. And the Bible says he now offered the sacrifices. You would think that while he was offering the sacrifices, God would say, no, I won't accept it. God just kept quiet. God is interesting. If you know God, there are some things about God that is wonderful, but there are some things that are really scary. A man is disobeying God and he keeps quiet. Where is his mercy that is new every morning? Then he keeps quiet and allows Saul to just be messing up his destiny. And then Samuel shows up. Watch this. I want to teach you something powerful. Samuel shows up and says, Saul, what have you done? He said, well, I mean, you were not there and time is going. The people are mounting pressure. He said, no, you have done foolishly. Listen carefully. He said, you would have been patient for me to come and offer the sacrifice, and then God would have established your kingdom forever. So he would have been, thou son of Saul, have mercy on me. Listen carefully. But then you have done this, and this day God has taken the kingdom away from you. And he thought it was a joke. God took the kingdom, but he still went to his palace that day. Foolish prophet. Whereas the kingdom had left. He sat down on the throne. The chair didn't refuse to take his, but they took him there. But in the realm of the spirit, the light that makes men relevant within a season left him. Brothers and sisters, hear me. It is my desire that we all are not just born again, not just filled with the Holy Spirit, but to be at the epicenter of what God is doing in Nigeria, in Africa, and in the world. You know, I say this with all humility. Many of you have been blessed by my life. You've been blessed by our ministry. Let me tell you this. Thank God for the revelations. Thank God for the anointing. Thank God for all of these things. But the greatest secret, I would say, maybe secondary to my love for God, is that I will never be found where God is not. If God is moving this way and decides to reverse, I'm not too proud to join him. You see that? The problem is that the way we move in such a way that we carry our ego along. So when God moves back, you say, they are not seeing God, they are seeing me. If I move back, they may think I'm not hearing God well. Then you continue moving. And if his presence doesn't go with you, that's already a sign that you are out. This happens in business. You find out that people are excelling. It's not just demons. Many times it's our violation of spiritual order. We do not know how God is doing things. A business can be thriving, and the man thinks he's thriving just because he's tithing and giving. No, there was something in the heart of God, and he came and donated himself and his business to that agenda. And God says, because you are part of my program, certain privileges will happen to you. You see that? And then he gets to a point where God says, I've decided to shift this way. And he says, Lord, I've come too far. My reputation around this thing is too much at stake. And God says, you have your will. That's what happened to Lucifer. Lucifer, the son of the morning, was to the then dispensation what Jesus was to our dispensation. A revelation of the love of the Father. Are we together? And Lucifer got to a point where he felt that he could not continue his allegiance, and God respected his will. Respected his will, and out he went. Will I call it fear? That's not a very nice word, but my greatest fear, let me tell you, is not losing ministry. It's not losing relevance. It's that God is here, and I find myself here and inspire a generation to move away from him to follow me. I don't know how I will stand before God and what explanation I'm going to give him. That God is here, and you tell people God is with me, and they say, we believe you. Do you know that influence is a burden? It is true. If you fear God, you will be careful to receive influence, because there is a weightier judgment upon you. When you inspire people to veer off the program of God, many people in the church in Nigeria as a corporate body, most of the error here and there were not initiated by people. It was usually men and women of influence who, for some reason, edged out of the program of God and continued moving, and then multitudes will follow. Are we together now? While I sat back there and I was watching the crowd and everything, you people were clapping for me. I appreciate, but I just sat down and I was thinking. I said, Lord, imagine that I mislead these precious people. You know, there is a point you get to in your life where you take the voice of a man over your life as the voice of God. You believe the truths that are shared. You have opened up your spirit to receive. Are we together? I rather lose ministry and keep his presence. I rather lose relevance. What is relevance? God forbid, but if I die today, it's over. He will pray to raise me back. If I'm not raised back, he will bury me. It's as simple as that. And the program of God continues. But this thing I'm teaching you will outlive you. It's true. The emphasis of the Spirit. Why are we gathered here in this conference? It is because we believe that God is doing something in our generation. And we believe that we are part of his program. Much more than receiving miracles. That we are part of something that God is doing. And we are not ashamed to come together, not just as members, but as a generation. To say, Lord, reveal your blueprint, equip us, prepare us. Once upon a time, we were young people. Once upon a time, many of us were students. But right now, many of us are family people. Right now, responsibilities, the influence. Now, you see, the implication of this is that the situations that you complained about, while you were complaining, you were moving forward to it. And now the light is on you. Are we together? In the next 10-15 years, you will be surprised to see your baby now grown and say, Daddy, I learned you were complaining about this situation. Now you have become a father, and now I've even become a teenager, and nothing changed. It's easy to insult our loved ones. It's easy to insult our parents. You didn't do this. Daddy, why were you not part of what God was doing? You claimed you were a classmate to this man of God. Where were you when God was speaking to him? And now while you are complaining, you are growing older. And the devil is using bitterness to distract you while you keep growing. And now you have gotten to a point where you should begin to make a mark for the kingdom. But we are still there wallowing in anger and bitterness. But not after this conference. Because God is visiting us to prepare our hearts. Are we together? But you see, brothers and sisters, being relevant in God's program, you've always heard me say, requires an encounter. Desire is important, but it will take more than desire to represent God in a generation. I love the body of Christ, and I don't mean to insult any theology or whatever, but you see, let me tell you this. I think one of the greatest areas in the body of Christ where there's a lot of confusion is in the area of faith. How faith works and why it doesn't work. That I can believe God for something and yet never see the result. I will tell you why. Because you see, one of the most fundamental keys to true Bible faith is an encounter. Not just an awareness of the word. Everybody who manifested true Bible faith manifested faith from an encounter. Are we together? Now watch this. I'm putting my hand in his suit pocket. Can you feel my hands? It's true. You may not see it, but this is a reality to you. This is called an encounter. This is real. His eyes doesn't need to confirm it. This is a reality. Now, if you come to tell him, sir, hands are not in your suit pocket, will he believe you? What has happened to him is more real than your proposition. He knows. The reason why many believers in this country and many of us young people, we don't know what we believe. Today you believe healing is real. Tomorrow you can say, Kai, I'm not exactly sure. Today you see demons casted out. You say, I believe it. Next month, you say, no, I don't need anything. The reason is because we are not our confidence is not rooted in genuine encounters. And let me tell you, if we do not have genuine encounters, we will have nothing to tell our children. Because the darkness will fade away your convictions to the point that when people stand, they say, "What do you believe?" You say, "It depends on the year. From 1981 to 87, I believe this. And then something happened from 88. I'm not even now, self." This is why you see many people, and with all due respect to our parents and loved ones, at age 50 or 60, they see you and say, "I'm going on evangelism." They say, "May God help you." They say, "Look at me. I was evangelism secretary." You see that? Now, evangelism secretary with desire but no encounter. So the person served God while on campus, no encounter, and then graduated and believed for a job. No job, no open doors, and he just said, "This God is a scam." That was a once evangelism secretary. The reason why many of our teenagers and many young people today, especially our millennials, the reason why they hate God, sometimes very vocally, is because we have not been able to answer their questions. The social media is answering their questions, and they come and say, "Daddy, I don't understand why we believed read the scripture." And you tell him, "If you talk to me again, I'm going to slap you." And the child says, "All right." Then he goes, "Ask Google, why do people refuse to get encounters?" Then one unbelieving YouTube video will come out, and the man will say, "Now let me tell you, don't mind all those touts called Christians." And your son will say, "That's right. That man is resonating with my belief. Can we go to church?" He says, "For what?" "When I have a new pastor, someone is educating me and he's giving me something that looks truer and realer than what is given in church." We need genuine encounters with God to establish the faith and the conviction that will last, to be able to tell a generation you are wrong. A generation, not a membership, not a city, that you can stand and say, "Old generation, that you are moving left does not mean that is the way. I met God, I know God, I would dish." This is the kind of generation that God is looking for. As pastors, as leaders, as workers, many of us find out that we find ourselves in double standards. The popular is the one you quietly identify with for the moment. If someone is laughing, and then those ideologies are revelations that you do not have an encounter. Are we together? Yes. My dear, and I come. Be bold. Let's appreciate her. Come. Come up here. What's your name, darling?
Faith.
Faith. Faith. Now, if I look at this lady and I say, "You are a man. Watch this. Do you think she will go home and check herself in the mirror?" I say, "Me? Man? No. Let me confirm. Mommy?" She's calling her mother now. "Sorry, oh. My birth certificate, I can't find it. Did it? Was it man or woman?" I said, "You're a woman now." I said, "Okay, thank you." Do you think that's what will happen? Why? Encounter. Something about her womanhood has been so real. If someone says you're a man, she will feel sorry for him and hope he finds a doctor, no matter how bold he is. Listen carefully. This is called an encounter. An encounter is an experience that furnishes the reality of a person or a thing to you. Are we together? I call her a man. If I Joseph, sorry, Faye, she will not say, Joseph, me. No. Said, she's not trying to believe she's a woman. You see where our faith problem is? Forever we are trying to believe. No. But I know whom I have believed, not I am believing. I started it one day and I came to the end of it, settled, and I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. So you believe God for a job, as we say, "Oh Lord, I thank you, I believe you for a job." And after 2 years, someone calls you and says, "Oh, there's a job that is coming, but you are going to pay 250,000. Say, why? Say, don't ask me that question. How old are you? You've stayed long enough in Nigeria to know what that money is for. And you first pray in tongues. And then 2 weeks later, you say, please, can you borrow me 300K? I'll return the money, my first, second, third salary. And then you quietly smuggle the money and come out and say, oh, Lord, you've been faithful, Lord. From the ages past. And while you are singing, your son who saw you, or your younger brother who drinks and saw you making the transfer, hears you lying on stage, and God just moved in it, this God, and he said, ah, in church, in my presence, you made that transfer. Do you know, at a point, you yourself, you would have accumulated a lot of falsehood around your Christian experience. You would not know what to believe again. But I know whom I have believed. Everyone say encounters. Say it again, encounters. Bless you, darling. Genesis chapter 28. We are going to pray. The Bible talks to us about a very strange man called Joseph. In fact, let's start with Psalm 24. Just three scriptures and then we'll worship and pray. If God is blessing you, say amen.
Amen.
I hear there is an overflow at the old building. Those are the overflow. Can you shout hallelujah? Oh, I see. There's somewhere here. Honestly, I thought they were workers. Okay, those here shout hallelujah. Those up here, can we shout hallelujah? Those under, shout, I refuse to be intimidated. Psalm 24. Psalm 24 and verse 6. Read with me, please. It's on the screen. 1, 2, read. This is the generation. Stop. 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 Don't rush. This is the generation. Not just the members, not just the church. This is the generation of them that go to church. Please talk to me. This is the generation of them that pray in tongues, that carry Bibles, that have Christian names, that come from Christian homes, that watch Christian movies. This is the generation. There is a generation that will be characterized by their passion to seek God. Like a trend, an IT generation. Are we together? Like an intellectual generation. There is a mandate that is not just on an individual. Listen carefully. There is a mandate that is not just on a territory. The mandate is on a generation. He said, this is the generation of them that seek him. Who is the him? Hold on. It says, thy seek thy face, O Jacob. It was an old rendition. The correct rendition is, O God of Jacob. So can we read it with that correction? Go ahead. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O God. That's where my story begins. O God of Jacob. Not O God of Israel. That means there is a relationship between Jacob and the seeking that we should study. You see how the Bible works? It leaves you with an expo so that from there you start trailing yourself. It says there is a generation that seeks God, and there was a man that portrayed that dimension of hunger to the point that God named himself after that man's pursuit. And the name of that man is Jacob. Genesis 28. Genesis chapter 28. We're reading from verse 10. This was a very strange scenario. The Bible says that Jacob went out from Beersheba, listen carefully, and went towards Haran. I'm just cutting it so that we have the entire story. Read on, please. Next verse. It says, and he lighted upon a certain place. Notice that the Bible doesn't even care about the name of that place yet. The Bible says, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. Take note. The sun was set, and it forced him to tarry down. I can preach all night just on that revelation. Are we together? Yes. The sun could mean anything. The sun was set. It was a night time in his life. And the Bible says he came and settled down, and he took off the stones of that place, whatever that place is. And the Bible says he put them for pillows, and then he lay down to sleep. And he dreamed. It was a night vision. The Bible says, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Read on, sir. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God. Now listen. Remember, we are still reading in context with Psalm 24. So God is the Lord God of many things. But as far as encounter is concerned, the God you should seek is the God of Jacob. I am the Lord God of Abraham. By this time, he was not yet the God of Jacob. Let's see how Jacob made God to add him to his names. Because at this time, he was the God of his father Abraham and the God of Isaac, but not yet the God of Jacob. But by the time we are in Psalm 24, he has become the God of Jacob as a reference for all who seek God to make reference to the man Jacob. It says, and the God of Isaac. Then it says, the land whereon thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, etc., etc. Let's go to verse 19, please. Verse 19. He said, okay, well, give me verse 16. From that place that touches the heavens. If these two things are not in any gathering of believers, it is not the house of God. It is not the gate of heaven. Please, let's read on. The Bible says he called the place, verse 18. He called the name of the place Bethel. It literally means the place of bread, the place of encounter. And the Bible says, but the name of the place was called Luz at the first. Are we together now? So we see that Jacob had an encounter. His father Abraham had raised an altar for God within that area, and Abraham came to light, Isaac's grandfather. It's amazing how this thing works, that your walk with God can give him a name that God will reference a generation to you. That means God can say to our children, I am the God of Joshua Selman, the faithful God. That means when you want to study God's faithfulness, study Joshua Selman. There is something that the God of Abraham reveals to the church. There is something the God of Isaac reveals to the church. Are we together now? There is something the God, that's why you hear people say the God of this and that. Once it is understood, it's a powerful revelation, because that means that there is a way you have walked with God, and you know the pathway, and God has carved his name out of your encounter and referenced a generation to follow that path, to experience that dimension of him. So when you say the God of Benny Hinn, what you are saying is that God walked with Benny Hinn in a certain way that brought him to the place of the anointing. And anyone who wants to manifest the dimensions of the anointing, God recommends a man on earth as the case study. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. When you want to finish strong in faith, the reference is Jesus. He says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. But there are other men. They are all part of Jesus that God can reference, that you look up to. Are we together now? When the Bible talks about prayer, effective prayer, it is the God of Elijah. So we go to James and it says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. But because you may not understand, I walked with a man that exemplifies that dimension. Then it says Elijah was a man of like passion. So he's teaching about prayer and then he uses a man. When God is teaching about faith, he uses Peter. He says, Peter, Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, don't forget about your brethren. Strengthen. Write epistles that will strengthen your brethren. When the Bible talks about men who represented the counsel of God in a way and manner that the earth was no longer relevant for them, the Bible talks of Enoch, the seventh man from creation. It says, and Enoch walked with God. So when you want to walk with God so closely, there is a man. You see, Jesus didn't just walk himself. He found men who scored that mark well and became their God. Are we blessed? So when we look at church growth in the world, we say the God of Yonggi Cho. Why? It doesn't mean I don't know anything about church growth, but a man asked God questions and refused to leave and sat down there and said, God, if I perish, I perish. Show me the mysteries of church growth. And then when he was converted, he strengthened the brethren. And today now, many people have become epistles, living epistles from his sacrifice. Listen, hear me, precious people of God. There is a name that your life should give God for this generation. If all our children know is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have failed. There is a name that my hunger. Abraham never wrote exams and failed. So you failed exams, started another course, and you have graduated. Your experience is giving God a name that when a student goes to 100 level, God will say, I am the God of Kemi. And he said, Lord, who is Kemi? He said, go and study in this university. Find out the lady that spent 12 years and yet graduated with first class. Your pain is not useless in the school of encounter. It is part of the build up for the testimony. Oh, come on. Listen. Listen to my message, knowing God experientially. We are talking about encounters. Remember, the Bible says the premise for that encounter was that the sun went down. It was a season. Many people cannot encounter God because the level of convenience around your life will never break you to the point where you need him. The sun had to set. The night he could no longer see light. He gave up in himself and said, I need to rest. And then he slept. There are many people who are too innocent to worship God. They are standing in broad daylight. So when they say God is faithful, worshiping, say, ah, it's too long now. 5 minutes, abba. Is he just worship, wave your hand for what? And another person is waving a hand and say, why are you stopping me? Let me continue. Because he is the God of that woman. There is a story behind that waving of hand that has revealed God. Let that young man continue growing. One day when you are about crossing a bridge and a car comes with speed and the last thing you know is that people will say, in Jesus' name you shall not die. And then the person comes back to life and say, where am I? They say, you've been 1 month in this hospital in coma. There is a name that pain would have given God. When you stand, you tell people, I'm a living sacrifice. Are we together? Let me tell you this. If you are trusting God for a ministry here, the requirement for ministry is that you must have a track record with God. Are we together? Enough for your experience to give him a name that is worth a generation listening to you. The generation that we have now will not listen to you because you have Rema. There is nothing you will preach today that people cannot search with a click online. So when, if all you want to impress people with is English and revelation, before 9 o'clock, there are literally millions of churches streaming online. Those with depth, those with height, those with breadth. And from 6 o'clock to 10, before they come to your own service, they've already listened to everybody. And you find out while you are talking, he listened to that man. That's exactly what he said. And you are surprised. It is good to know the God of other people so that you will now know him as your God. It is the final bus stop. How can I bow down before you and then bow down before a man?
No way.
How can I sing your song before you and then sing songs before men?
No way.
Because
you are my God.
Not our God. It's an encounter.
My God.
That's why I will not bow to other men. I had an experience with him. So the Bible says, this is the generation that will seek your face, O God, and the portrait that was given to that generation as a case study is Jacob. So we are studying Jacob. Jacob comes to a place and God told him, Abraham had business with me and I am the God. Remember, it is God talking, not an angel. God called himself the God of Abraham. And then he says, Isaac followed the God of Abraham to the point that I became the God of Isaac. There was something that Isaac saw with God that Abraham did not see. Jacob, it's your turn. Follow Abraham, follow Isaac until I become your God. And Jacob said, wow, okay. First test, he got zero. God was in a place. Jacob was loitering around with anger. The sun had been dim. He got up in anger. What rubbish is this? From this experience, when you read, Joseph was too innocent to know that God was there. So the next step was the house of Laban. Jacob went to the house Laban, when you read, and that man went through hell and high water. Laban oppressed him. He served 7 years. When it was time for his wife, they switched his wife in the night. He got up in the morning and said, what kind of thing is this? This is not the woman that dowry of 7 years, and you give me this other woman. I said, work another 7 years. They cheated him again and again. Laban defrauded him. Laban went and consulted with diviners. Why am I getting blessed? He said, God is with this guy. The fact that he did not know did not mean God was not there. Remember, God was not there as the God of Jacob. There was something about Abraham. Indeed, shall all the families be blessed. That's not God of Jacob. That's God of Abraham. Jacob knew that, so it was working for him that anywhere he went to, he would be blessed because he was carrying a revelation. But it was time for him to create his own track record. And one day he said, look, Laban, I have to leave. Now, until that time, we did not know how Christians respond when they are oppressed. So a man's life is about to give us a template. Laban defrauded him. Your boss is not the first to treat you bad. Find out. And in the end of it, when he left, the Bible records that he began to hear that Esau, remember the story? That Esau was coming. He now said, look, there's trouble. Remember, I cheated my brother with a pot of stew. and all of that, and I'm in trouble. I'm sure Esau is coming to kill me. Notice that Esau, although he had veered off from the things of God, the God of Abraham was still working. That's why he was blessed. There are some of you, what you are receiving now has nothing to do with you. There is the God of your mother and something she told God when you were born and said, Lord, this is not Abrahamic covenant. This is me and you. I dedicate this child. So when others were smoking, the moment you touched the cigarette, you touched, they slapped you. You don't even know what happened. The God of your mother arising. So you find out that you have been wayward, but nobody has slept with you. Nothing. It's not your strength. The God of your mother. There was a dimension of God, and she introduced you into it. Listen very carefully. I sense the anointing of the Spirit in this place in a very strong way. This is the reason why Nigeria cannot scatter. There are quiet, strange men that did something with God in this nation. They agreed with God and left, although they are gone. When God wants to punish men, he will say, I will bless you for the sake of David. Am I teaching you something tonight? Let's go to Genesis 32. I sense the anointing of the Spirit. We have to pray. Just pray in the Spirit while we talk to Genesis 32. From verse 22. Now listen. Now God, listen, by this time, Jacob was not innocent of the wickedness of men. He had gone through so much. Listen carefully. The first night time in his life, he was so innocent. But this one, he had been battered, two wives with maids. His life was about to be threatened. His brother Esau could slay him. He was mightier than him. And before he would meet him, he decided to separate his wives, separate his possessions into two, so that in case Esau captures him, he can have something. You see that? So as at this time, he was still a cheat. He was still are we together? Then the Bible says, verse 22, it says, and he rose up that another night came. Don't waste your night. When night season comes in your life, God may not cause it, but once God sees night, he's attracted, because he knows that night is the atmosphere that can allow you know him. There is a name God wants to give you through your pain. Some of you, it is your night that brought you here. Are we together? You are saying, Lord, if you don't help me, I will not graduate. If you don't help me, look at the dear woman that came with her fruit of the womb. You think if she had triplets, she would be around last year? She probably would be busy breastfeeding them. But a night season made her to say, Lord, I'm here. Oh. Sometimes, don't be too quick to wipe people's tears. Allow the tears drive them to God's presence. Now, I know what you would think. I'm saying you should not be compassionate. But sometimes we interrupt what God is doing in people's lives too much. That stubborn brother, he now says, Kai, I don't have money to eat. Leave him. You want to give him? God said, don't give him anything. There's something that hunger would do. He sits down, there's hunger, he checks for what to sell, he has sold everything, he wants to go and donate his blood to get money, nobody wants, and he sits down. And then he looks at one Gideon's International that was given to him 4 years ago. Say, what is this? Just turns to one scripture and fire falls in that room. A night time. Because you see, most of our night times leave us lonely, which is very good for encounters. Sometimes many of us are too among people for God to visit us. There is the corporate visitation of God, but God had to wait. Please give us that scripture again. The Bible says he took his two wives and his two women servants and 11 sons and passed over for Jabbok. 23. The Bible says he took them and did what? And sent them over the brook. and sent over that he had. This is the verse I like. And Jacob was left alone. That is the atmosphere for encounters. Your reputation gone. Everything gone. Maybe people are even talking about it and say, can this man of God ever rise up again? So this is how this man would die. Left alone. I know this scripture. I understand this scripture. When you are left alone, you call somebody and he says, I'm busy. Call somebody and say, you were not serious before, I'm busy. And off the phone. And he said, Lord, don't I have a friend? And he keeps quiet. But in that silence, he's saying, come. Come. Some of you, that's why you came here. You are listening to me online. You're following the overflow up. Listen to me very carefully. Some of you, you're not hearing God was really, you're hearing him well. Because your mind was not hearing. But in the spirit, God is saying, have you not realized your father never became anything? You are walking their path. And so you want a quick miracle. And God says, I love you too much to only give you a car. So I let my silence drive you. There is a yoke that must be broken on behalf of the entire family, not just a person. Listen very carefully. The second night time came. Jacob was about to lose his wives. Lord, what is this? This barrenness. I love you and I'm an usher. It's night time. And God says, it's an opportunity to show this woman something. So that all the ladies that come to her and say, we're barren, say, look, don't worry. This. Mommy, I've been 15 years barren. He said, look at me. I was 25 years barren. The God of the barren. Do not listen to you. It's because your life does not call God a name that only you can call. When I mention your name, something about your pain should bring the picture. Where happens, there is no competition. You can fake messages, not experiences. What is there to compete when your life has blood dripping on it? A testament of God's faithfulness. That's why you see some of our parents, they will say, they are fighting, this and that is happening, police is coming to collect this. You just see the woman crying and then smiling at the same time and say, Lord, you are faithful. Mommy, let's hurry up. Forget this, I've seen too much of this. My pain has carved out a name, the God who can rescue at the point of shame. And you say, God, what? Mommy, what is the meaning of that? You say, just watch. When in 1981 I was about to receive shame, then a song came to my spirit. When I sang that song, God arose. I want to sing it again. I said, Mommy, the song is not nice. He says, it's because you are too young to understand. Allow me continue to sing. I need one Yoruba person here to sing that song for me. Olorun. That's not a song for everybody. There's something you must go through for that song to make sense. Sing that song one more time from the devil. And your mother begins to sing it and carries a wrapper and sits on the ground, and all of a sudden somebody just starts calling from UK and you say, no, this is a joke. God says, there is a covenant. Her pain is calling me. I must move somebody. I vowed with her that she will not see shame. Encounters. Genesis. And Jacob was left alone. Listen, that man never came when he was busy. Don't waste your pain. There is something about God that you can know through your pain. It says, and there wrestled a man with him. Follow this. Until the breaking of the day. Next verse. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. Now notice what he did to Jacob. He touched something about Jacob's understanding of self-perfection to make him ever dependent. The hollow of the thigh is one of the ways that the body gets balanced while you walk. And it says you have been feeling adequate by yourself. So I touch something in you that makes you permanently inadequate in yourself. You will always have to depend on a rod. That rod and staff that will comfort you. You have been walking without a rod because your body is balanced on its own. So I touch you so that you will need a rod. That rod wherewith you will do mighty things. He said he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. 26. And he said, that a man can hold God and say, my father never rose up, my mother never became anything, I have seen everything shattered in my family, but Lord, I stay with you. Sister, won't you enter a relationship? Not until God answers me. Lord, I'm staying with you. There is an answer to why people are not rising in this family. I will stay. If I perish, I perish. The Bible says the man, God himself, was tired. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let you go except. That's an encounter. You couldn't tell him you didn't meet a man. It's just your mind that was, you took something and said you are joking. I wrestled. He touched me as an evidence that I met him. Except thou bless me. 27. And he said unto him, so when God wants to bless you, it has to do with your name, not your situation. Something about your name is what is responsible for your situation. He never said, let me give you good, take money. The reason why the money is not coming, the reason why this is not coming, is there is something about your identity. There is something. He said, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. 28. Ah, Jesus. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, why are you getting the name Israel? Because you have been able to stay with me. As a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hath prevailed. An encounter. Look at 29. And Jacob said, tell me, I now know my name, what is your own? This is where the encounter is. When I met you, I knew myself, but I still need to know you. Moses asked the same question. Who shall I tell Pharaoh sent me? And he said, I am that I am. You thought he would tell Jacob, I am that I am. Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him. Hold on. Do you know, as at 28, even with the new name, he had not blessed him. It was when he now started asking, who are you? Who are you? And he blessed him. Let's see what happened. 30. Jesus. And Jacob, now with a new name, renamed that place. The Bible says he called the name of the place Peniel. Peniel means the face of God. He called the name of the place Peniel. Why? For I have seen God face to face. I saw him in a way that my life was preserved. Until then, if you saw God, you would die. But something about Jacob's encounter introduced that a man can see God and live. And God said, there is a generation that will seek me and still live. They will know me. They will seek my face.
and say, study Jacob. Study Jacob. That you stand in your bank and someone looks at you and says, I will rubbish your life. Ah! And you say, okay, God bless you. But you have seen God, you don't fear men. Remember, this encounter was likened to a prince that fights. It's the spirit of a warrior. Encounter will give you faith and confidence. As a prince fights, you have fought with God. So no man can threaten you. I will waste your life. And he said, no. I have seen God. He left me with a promise that I shall not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day, nor the noisome pestilence, nor the destruction that wasted in noonday. He left me with a covenant that 1,000 shall fall by my side and 10,000. So I can make boast and say, what can man do to me? This is not just because I'm a Christian. This is the God of Jacob. I can take that God now to go to my village and see somebody whose vows through divination. You see the mistake many Christians make. They don't go with the God of Jacob. They go with sarcasm and pride and go back and they return back mad. Although they are born again. Because Pharaoh will ask you who sent you. If you tell Pharaoh Jesus, you are in trouble. Because Jesus is not the name that was given to us. Jesus was the name he was called. The name that was given to us is a revelation. It's called Lord. It's a name. It doesn't mean if you call Jesus, nothing will happen. But you have been shouting it. Why didn't it work? Because it's not a charm. The power is not in the pronunciation. There is a revelation. That's why we sing songs. We can call him Yahweh. We can call him El Shaddai. It's still the same intentions. Names that were given based on our need. When you are hungry, you don't call Sikeno. You will die of hunger. That's not the name allocated for that dimension. When you are hungry, you have to go and find out who gave him the name Jireh. And find out what happened that he was called Jireh. And then you learn that the name Jireh came as a result of a sacrifice that a man was going to give. And you go and do likewise. And Jehovah Jireh comes to you. That's how we grow in the spirit. I have found some things about God. And I am shocked today that when you find these truths, a generation must stand still to listen to you. No matter how proud they are, they will listen. Except you don't find it. When you find this, I see what the Lord is doing to our ministry, and I see what the Lord is doing in and through my life, and I look and I say, my God. So that scripture is true. They looked unto him and their faces were lightened. You have been looking unto men. You have been looking unto a lot of things. From the pages of my heart, let my worship begin that never ends. From the pages of my heart, let my worship begin that never ends. To the God of all flesh, for he is my God and his name is Yahweh. His name is Yahweh. But let me share with you just one of those encounters. Confidence today is based on the word of God, but much more than that, because I have seen him. A transaction happened. When I read the Bible, it's not just by faith. I'm reading an experience that is real. Are we together? Please be sensitive. Pay attention.
I got to a point where my hunger for God would almost kill me if I didn't find him. As many of you know, my grandfather was a man of God. Yet, I didn't inherit. All I inherited was that I saw lots of white missionaries with him till he died. That was not enough to help me. I got to a point where I was tired of church. I asked people questions they could not answer. They found all kinds of explanation and said, "Don't worry, it's all right." And something in my spirit refused. Stay till you find the answer. And one night, I was lying down flat. I don't even know how I got there, frankly. I can't remember the whole details myself. And all of a sudden, a stranger, I don't know whether he walked into the room, whether he appeared, I still don't know. All I know is that standing before me was Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. My goodness, the one that parted the Red Sea was standing before Joshua Selman. Nobody. I had seen miracles here and there. I had seen the hand of God. God was helping me, but this was an encounter. Jesus stood before me, never asked me if I was a man of God, never asked me if I want fame, never asked me if I needed money, never asked me if I wanted a car, never asked me, "Do you want to be famous in life and ministry?" Many of us are getting it all wrong because these are the questions you would like to ask him. How will I be famous? No. And he looked at me. You've heard me say that I still don't know how he looks like. And I'm not lying. How can you look at a man for so long and yet not know how he looks like? If I look at you, if I see you tomorrow, I say, the face is familiar. You know, in the Bible, when Jesus resurrected, there were people who saw him. They didn't know it was him until he said, "Rabboni." I mean, he shouted. The two men in Emmaus, they were talking about him. Their hearts were burning, yet they didn't know it was him until the bread was broken. You don't just know him. Something must be broken for you to see him. Jesus looked at me, brilliance at its peak. He didn't condemn me, but truly I knew I was filthy. This is not self-condemnation. This is, you are standing before holiness personified. He's not holy. Nobody, he didn't give his life to anybody. Don't forget, this is Jesus. We all gave our hearts to him. He didn't call on any name to be saved. This is the King of the ages, the one that men of God represent. I just knew that many people didn't know him. Jesus stood, never spoke to me, yet he spoke volumes. And out he stretched his hand, brilliant hand and light. I'm showing you how men get a name. Light from it. You see that? Entered me. That light was a name. It was a message. It was an identity. He was giving me an identity that a generation will follow after. I didn't realize that was what was happening. That light entered me. I don't even know how I felt. Peace, love. You would not trade that presence for anything. It's true. Imagine being in a place where there is no awareness of pain. There is no... You knew that if you asked anything, if he said done, it truly was done. Faith. You are not trying to believe. That was reality himself. After that encounter, how he left is still how I don't know. Whether he went up, he disappeared, he walked out, I don't know. But brothers and sisters, from that night, something entered me that I knew was bigger than me. I knew it was for a generation. This is the generation that seeks thy face. I started understanding things in the Bible I never studied. I would sit down and start writing and read my own revelation like prophecy because I didn't know what it was. What is this?
There's an army rising.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising down.
Break every chain.
From that singular encounter, I was open to a realm of strange encounters. Many of you have listened to it in my message. By the Spirit, I've had encounters with many, many of those we call God's generals. I have seen them. I have seen Apostle Paul. It's not some witchcraft. Remember when Jesus appeared, two people showed up, Moses and Elijah. What were they doing? You think they were just discussing? No. Two men whose bodies were not found appeared because someone's body too was going to leave and not be found. But the two men appeared and they were telling him, this is it. This is what happened. The mystery of keeping the law and the prophetic is what translates men. They were trying to rise in this kingdom. We must encounter the laws of the kingdom and the ministry of the prophetic. And no matter what dies, must come up. It wasn't just Moses and Elijah. They represented something. So every time death happens to you, you need two things: an understanding of the principles of the kingdom and the encounter with the prophetic dimension. When that happens, you must come out of the grave. It's a mystery, brothers and sisters. Many people want to come out of the graves of their lives, but they have kept the principles of the kingdom. There is Moses, or there are the principles of the kingdom, as we would call it in the New Testament. But Elijah is not there. They are taken for a prey, and no man saith restore. Are we together? I started having encounters, several encounters. And one time, I had an encounter and I saw a being, very strange being, an angel. Now, I've seen a lot of angels, truly speaking. But then I saw this very strange angel. And then the Lord told me that this angel is called the angel of the Lord's presence. That angel, for strange reasons, responsible for initiating encounters, is a ministry. Like Gabriel came to Daniel and said, I am come to give you understanding. Remember, God signifies calls and revelations by his angel. Revelations 1 verse 1. The Bible says the revelation of God which he gave unto John, and he sent it and signified it by his angel. When God gives you a mandate and anointing, there are certain angels that follow that anointing. Not you. They follow whoever carries that anointing. And under the leadership of the Spirit, they are the ones who produce the possibilities. So you carry one koinonia message that may not even sometimes be very clear. You play it and you attract the angels and the spirits that come with the anointing behind that message. And you find out you can't stop again. And you are listening. Maybe nothing really new you are hearing, but something is happening to you. That is the mystery behind these messages you listen to. It's not just eloquence. Brothers and sisters, you have had people with deep revelation. But there are mysteries that surround every result you see. Why are we gathered here tonight by the Spirit? Because God wants to bring us into these realities. There is a depth of encounter that when you have, brothers and sisters, all the things men run after, believe me, will follow you. It will. Men don't just follow a man. No. Even if he's a politician, they follow you for 4 years or 8 years. After that, they stone you to death. They
They followed John for a while and left him. They followed Jesus and died with him. Tonight we are going to cry for a genuine encounter. There is something that your family needs. You have prayed, you have prophesied, you need an encounter. Listen to me. The reason why many of us are up today and down tomorrow, on fire for 2 weeks and then 3 weeks, is as if you are not aware of what you were doing again. And then you say, I've not been studying my Bible. Let me, 6 weeks, you come up with some kind of religious timetable and follow it for 2 days and go back. It's because you are trying in the flesh. There is a kind of fire that when you find, to leave God is to die. Now, 30 years you are standing. Promotion or no promotion. Job or no job. Lord, I will leave you because you are not giving me a child. That's the language of one who has not met God. God has done something in my life today. Lord, you know I love you. I do. Listen, there are things that when you are seeking God because of, when you find them, the energy to continue is, it doesn't make sense to keep seeking him. Now, I believe in miracles, don't get me wrong, but this Christianity of tying a car, a house, am I against all those things? No, please don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, if that is the object of your pursuit, believe me, the day you buy 3 or 5 cars and can even buy a car factory, it's a waste of time to seek God because your goal has been achieved. So you find out that people love God in poverty. A job just comes. Time to go to church. I'm busy. Pastor, you know that I have the amen. My hand is full. And God is saying, you see what we are saying? And then sometimes the devil comes and God steps back to allow those night times to draw you back. And you sit there. This is longer the issue of ministry and man of God. Tonight, I want you to keep aside. I know some of you are great men of God. Some of you here may be pastors of churches, leaders of campuses, and you carry your title to the presence of God, and God said, drop that rubbish from the outer court before you enter. Even if you are an elder, you take your golden crowns. You don't worship God with your crown on your head. You put it down. Yes, I'm a man of God. And you say, Lord, you are the reason. That's what we are going to do now. Lord, you are the reason why I'm alive. You are not just singing. Before we sing songs tonight, you must allow the faithfulness of God to create a song in your mouth tonight. A song that only you understand. Some of you, the only song you are going to sing is, faithful are you, Lord. Faithful are you, Lord. Faithful are you, Lord. Faith, I am saying,
faithful are you, Lord.
Merciful,
faithful are you, Lord. Faithful are you, Lord.
Hallelujah. In the next 5 minutes, listen all over this place. In the next 5 minutes, instrumentalists, you're going to just play something, just flow. Everybody, find a position with you and God alone. And I want you to cry to God from the depth of your heart. Lord, are you not the one who caused me to escape that accident? Where did this pride come from that I forget your faithfulness, negotiating my allegiance with you?
And there is nothing you can do. Oh Lord, my eyes are blue. And there is no one you can see. Bela masala mariana na na mariana na. Malabara. You are the mighty God. Hey, let all be true. You are the glorious God.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
Cry your heart to God tonight.
Your holy presence. Leave me. This is my daily bread.
That's why we're here tonight. To let him know we love him and we need him.
This is my daily bread. Your very word that is spoken to me.
You to cry tonight and say, Lord, everything within me cries out to you. No more dilly-dallying, one leg in, one leg out. I vow my life, everything.
You're my treasure, my priority. Who can compare to you? Great is the measure of your loyalty. Oh, morning star, you truly are everything.
Listen, we're going to round up. The Bible says, seeing then, this is that generation, that we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses. It says, let us lay aside. Some of you are carrying luggages of pride, luggages of all kinds of things, relationships that are not destiny compliant. I'd like you tonight to say, I lay down this weight. We are that generation. Help. God help us on that anointing.
on me. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on my ministry. Breathe on my academics. Lord, there is death. I'm in my ninth season. Like Jacob, my breakthrough has left me. Everything has left me. It's as though the anointing has left me. Oh God of Jacob, oh God of Jacob, show my ministry your face. Show my life your face.
Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. There are many of us. Listen. The sudden disappearance of good things in your life are a message from the realm of the spirit. All of a sudden, within 1 month, you lost money. You went to church. The anointing didn't flow again. Somebody to help you. Don't just try to fight physically. Something central is going down. When your fire goes down, your finance goes down. When your fire goes down, the favor upon you goes down. The issue, don't, God is not a magician. Let's tell ourselves the truth. It's not just saying, oh God, no. Find out what happened. There are many of us, your academics, mysteriously, everything just went down. Tonight we need a change of name. There are some of us here, you used to be on fire for God. Your fellowship, everyone invites you. You notice in the last 4 months, no one is placing a demand on your grace. You keep asking people, come and invite me. It's a message. You are focusing on ministry and you have left his presence. Some of you have had dreams, you've had visions, you've seen yourself doing great things, you got carried away by that thing, and now you have left the fire. Light me, Lord, light me, Lord, light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord, light my life, light my ministry. Light me, Lord, light me, Lord. Light me, Lord, light me, Lord, like a candle. Light me, Lord, light me, Lord, light me, Lord. Fresh fire on my life. Fresh fire on my ministry. Fresh fire, light me, Lord, light a candle. Light me, Lord. Lord.
Light me, Lord. Light me, Lord. Like a candle.
Hallelujah. Two prayer points and we're done for tonight. Lord, as you are using men in this generation, I give myself. No, don't do it without me. That healing ministry can't happen without me. Lord, I give myself to be at the epicenter of the move of God in this generation. A music artist with fire, with power, song for the spirit. A man of God with fire, a man of God with grace, a man of God with depth, with unction. Now I stretch my hands across this place in the name of Jesus. Please don't miss tomorrow's session and tonight's session. After tonight's meeting, I know some of you are camping around. Please, you are in for a retreat. Let me tell you how we maximize retreats. You joke around, play, eat, but find somewhere. Don't snore yourself till morning and carry your Bible and come. You wake up in the middle of the night. Play worship. Play a message. The grace, the unction for my generation. You don't sleep and snore your way to the morning and hope to be great. But I pray right now. It's just one prayer I'm praying tonight. Please help those under the anointing. I'm stretching my hands. If anyone is under the anointing close to you, please help them. They don't have to be ushers. Right now, the anointing for encounters. This is not everybody. But in the name of Jesus, I stand by the unction that the Lord has granted unto me. I stretch my hands and I decree the grace. Let that grace come on you now. Please help them. Take that grace. Take that fire. Take that grace. So God was here on the balcony. Please help them. Take that grace. I release you to that dimension. Let the angels of encounters, let the angels of revelation, I push you by the Spirit. Enter that depth. Visions, dreams, illumination. Right to the overflow at the old building. I stretch my hands by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, let the angel of his presence visit you. I command that grace dormant within your spirit that is meant for a generation. Let it be stirred now. Stirring of that grace. Fire for God. Fire for the things of God. Fire for prayer. Fire for the word. Fire for evangelism. Hallelujah. Father, we declare that our generation is not a wasted generation. We declare that we are that generation prophesied that will seek your face in the similitude of Jacob. Lord, from this meeting tonight, let apostles arise. From this meeting tonight, let prophets arise. From this meeting tonight, let pastors arise. From this meeting tonight, let evangelists arise. Let captains of industry, anointed and on fire, arise.
in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now please listen. Please, I know that the president will come up to buttress on this, but tomorrow's meeting is by 10. Now, please, I want to say this. I know we are young people. This is a church that has granted us access to facilities. Please, let there be no fighting around and no littering the place with food and all of this. We are responsible people. Are we together now? Are we in agreement with this? Please, no fighting over seats. Don't allow the works of the flesh. I'm sure that some of you have a system of accommodation. You are not looking for convenience. This is just 1 or 2 days to encounter something. Let's take care of whatever facilities we're exposed to, and let's make sure that we behave ourselves tomorrow. Come early. When you come and sit down, listen carefully, please. If it's possible, maybe if the service, if there are many people and the place is already full, a message or a worship song should be playing while people are praying. Please, if you can have the people, except there is a function to be done, the people should not just sit idle and be gisting around. If that is possible, it will be greatly appreciated. So that when you come, an atmosphere of worship or a message is playing and you are praying in tongues and allowing your spirit to be prepared for the meeting. Are we together? Then tomorrow evening will be a miracle and impartation service. Now listen, please. I usually will not do this, but I want everyone, use today and tomorrow, and write down everything that has challenged the grace of God upon your life. I want you to come with it here. Let us see the devil that will not give way to your destiny. Are we together? We are going to be praying here, and we are going to be anointing every single one who is represented here in the evening. And something will come upon your life and your destiny. Are we together? I know that the space is congested. There will still be more people. Please invite all those. You know there are people. This is not just a young people's meeting. There are people who the devil has buffeted their lives. Don't sit down. Some of you is your family. Invite them and say, please come and let God change your story. Are we together? Lord Jesus, we give you the praise. Tonight, joining faith and joining forces with all of the ministries represented hosting this program, we give you thanks and we decree and declare that the encounters and the miracles begin tonight. Yes. That by tomorrow morning there will be strange testimonies. Yes. Hallelujah. Wave your hands to Jesus and give him all the praise.